This is RSVNB Update, episode 558, recorded Friday, March 18th, 2016. Destination China? Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for RSVNB Update. Colton is here as per usual.
That I am. Hello, everyone.
And Alex43 is joining us.
Sup, noobs.
Wow, that's kind of loud, but Alex writes for RSVNB Informer and does a number of various other things around RSVNB, Clan Quest, in his own unique way.
That's basically, I'm that thing that you think you see when you see a shadow flickering across the room.
And there we go. 30 seconds in, and I have just demonstrated what Alex43 is. Or I guess we could say as per usual, Colton, because isn't that the way people say things in this day and age?
It changes every 3 weeks, so don't worry about it.
No?
I'm not up with the parlance of today's youth.
Oh, I thought you would be.
Not... Well, maybe a little more than you, but not to that extent.
Well, anybody out there who is listening and would care to inform us about what the correct term is or if use is allowed, let us know. So this week's update was a bit of a surprise to everyone because it wasn't mentioned in the behind-the-scenes video. It was mentioned at the tail end of a treasure hunter update, believe it or not, last week, which we didn't mention that was coming. And I mean, I think there's good reason why they didn't want to promote this too much, right?
I guess. Maybe.
Well, prices of hatchets, maybe? I'm not sure what they did, but...
Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, I think hatchets are... The whole hatchet thing never even happened, like... I don't think mine's going to be able to sell for anything reasonable because everyone's just fishing because it's way cheaper, which is sad to me.
Okay, we'll get to that in just a moment.
But yeah.
Anyways, fishing and woodcutting, mining is left out. I don't think they really said where mining is going to be in this now, did they?
I don't know. Yeah, they didn't say anything.
Mining will probably come at a later date. I mean, it doesn't make sense. There doesn't seem to be any reason why they wouldn't want to do mining. There's no reason why fishing or woodcutting is different than mining at all, because they're technically the same kind of mechanic. You click on a resource until it disappears and then use it. Now, with the crystal and dragon hatchets, you can augment those, and you can also augment the crystal fishing rod if you have received that from waterfall fishing. And also, the fishing rod-o-matic is something that you can create with invention itself, which is what you use for fishing and invention if you do not have the crystal fishing rod. Now, I guess this makes sense, right? Because there is no tiered fishing rods going up to level 50, 60, 70, and beyond, right? Except for the crystal fishing rod.
Correct.
So that's why they had to bring in a new device called the Fishing Rod-O-Matic. Interesting name, I think. Don't you think so, you two?
So
it's crafty.
Yeah, ingenious.
Yeah. Anyways, I was being half serious there, half not serious.
I kind of felt that. Yeah.
And Fishing Rod-O-Matic, that sounds almost like something that generates a fishing rod as opposed to an actual fishing rod. It's like a big giant machine you have in the corner of the room. You press a button and then it brings in like a big bar of something and then all these parts move and stuff. And then when it opens up, there's a fishing rod there and you grab that and it saves you 5 coins in the long run.
Yeah, that's true. Usually something that's an O-matic, the precursor to that O-matic usually describes what it is making, not what it uses.
Mm-hmm. So... there's something very important to discuss about this update, and it is the fact that based on the tier of weapon or tool or equipment that you're using, you get the same amount of item XP and invention XP that you do as you do if you were using a weapon.
Yeah, but the thing is that there's no level 80 or above.
Exactly.
Rod.
Exactly.
Or
but that was
hatchet.
A change made this week, so.
Yes.
I want to say that I am extremely happy that skilling and combat have parity and invention, assuming you can eventually get a level 80 hatchet.
The thing is that you can't level any armor with skilling. So effectively, combat is at the beginning 2 times faster, then 3 times faster. And eventually, once they release augmentable helms, it will be effectively 4 times faster. And it's also faster just to level in terms of gaining XP. Whereas even at the highest, like level 97 fishing, it still takes 3 hours, maybe more, to around there to get a level 10 fishing rod. So whereas it's more close to level 2 if you're really paying attention. And I know that it's good to reward combat types and more intense stuff, but I think it's a little bit too much of a divide when it's that much of a difference at upper levels.
Yeah, that's entirely true when you bring out the fact that you can have multiple pieces of invention gear on you if you're doing combat, and you only have the one tool if you're doing skilling. That's a very good point. I didn't think of that going through this. So, but I mean, if you're just doing one for one, it's effectively equal and based on tier.
Yeah.
So, I mean, what could we do to increase this? Because, I mean, it's not as though you can have skilling gear that would, you know, boost the amount of XP that you get on your hatchet or your fishing rod, right? I mean, that would be one way of doing it, but that doesn't exist currently, and I think would be just ducking around the whole issue.
What if you had a way to augment the actual fishing spot?
But then, no, you don't want to do that because you're going to need to move around to different fishing locations, maybe, or different methods of training. And I know when I was doing woodcutting here, I bounced around between the ivy and the magics just because I wanted to test it out. So,
makes sense.
So, Colton, that's such an interesting point that really signifies a problem with the game. Well, not a problem, maybe an inherent design feature that's crept in over the last number of years, is that everything is just so combat related that invention by default gets more training methods.
Yeah, and I understand that combat is more intense.
Yep.
It takes a lot more attention. I mean, right now I'm fishing, and I could be fishing for the next 5 minutes and not have to pay attention at all until either my character decides to stop fishing randomly, or the logout timer hits me at 6 minutes. So I understand it from that aspect. So I think it should be reduced. I think it should be significantly less, but I don't think it should be to the point where we're talking 4 times slower than combat or 3 times currently at the upper levels. I think double should be as high as it gets for intense training methods. So I don't know. That is tough.
Well, I mean, why nerf combat as it is? Because I think that when you bring out an update in-game that is as expansive and wide-reaching as a skill is, such as Invention was, nerfing it for vast majorities of the population, namely the people who haven't leveled up to a decent level, that's not fair. So
yeah, I think at this point a nerf is against the best interest of Jagex. Because I mean, we saw some backlash just from the 10% nerf to level 70 equipment this week. And that was by comparison to what a lot of people might find balanced experience with regards to invention pales in comparison to the change that would incur. So I think that it's wise to make small incremental changes. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, the best thing for them to do would just be to increase the amount of XP you get from tools by 1.5 times or 2 times.
Like either make them level faster or something like that. And again, I
leveling faster would be good.
Yeah, and I think that would be the best way to go about it, because then you are going through the same amount of tools to get the same amount of experience. So you are spending a lot of money, spending a lot of resources to get the same amount of XP. It's just that the XP is coming a little bit quicker.
Yeah, all right. I think we hit it on increasing the XP, item XP. That's what that's the direction you're leaning, right?
I feel that that would be advisable. I don't think a massive increase is necessary, but I think something maybe to the order of 1.2 to 1.5 times the current speed
mm-hmm.
would be better.
But because if you increase the amount of XP that you get from actually, disassembling or siphoning an item, you will effectively increase the amount of invention XP jumps that people get when they're training. And if you want invention to be uniform, you don't want to give the appearance that one thing would be faster than another thing.
Yeah, and it also makes it so that less, unless you create a completely different category of gizmos and augmenters for the tools, then you're changing the amount of items that are sunk with that skill. So effectively decreasing the effectiveness of the sink.
Yeah, totally agree with that. And I think that's the only real issue with this update that came out this week, because I've been waiting ever since Invention came out, and I just did 2 crystal bows, and that got me level 39, and I was good with that until the tools came out. So mm-hmm. I find it inherently really relaxing, the ability to, you know, use tools to level invention, and it's the way I wanted to train it from the very beginning. So I'm happy with this update, even though it's less XP than if you were doing combat. And even if you were to level up a weapon and get more XP, and we wanted to balance out combat and skilling XP with invention, I ultimately think that if we decide to go down such a path, that the best way of doing it is, you know, going to come from increasing item XP.
Yeah.
Because at the same time, you don't want to have skilling be preferential over to combat, because that's would be being unfair with the skill. Just like I know I wouldn't want combat getting more XP, though it does now at the higher levels. So it would have to expand up as you go. And there's no reason why you couldn't have the same kind of expansion that you have with combat invention, and that you need to have certain levels to augment the shields and the armors and whatnot, and just have that increase for the multiplier of item XP to make leveling with items that be almost on parity with combat.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
So I think that this is a very positive update in that regard, if those are the only two problems we can find with this right now. Alex, you have any negative detracting thoughts on the invention tools?
Not really.
Okay.
I mean, if anything, this is the first time they're trying something like this, and so if anything, this is sort of a beta run. They want to see how the community reacts to it. And like you said, you're coming up with a couple of negative ideas and reasons why it's not very good, and this is... It's a good thing that they only released 2 different tools as opposed to trying to bring out the entire tool set all in one go. Because otherwise it would have been pretty chaotic.
You could have chaotic tools.
Oh, that would be a great way to do level 80 tools. Why don't they do that?
Don't give them any ideas.
Dungeoneering.
No. Please.
They've
already
got play tools. I mean, why not?
Don't give them any more ideas, please.
You just don't want dungeon
the end.
All right.
You can make Drygore tools.
So I got a crystal hatchet this week. I bought a dragon hatchet for 1.8 mils. They didn't go up that much, so I was happy about that. I augmented it, put gizmos on it, and I could not be happier with the way it's going. And the reason I did that is because I actually used some of the invention skilling perks that came out with this. Specifically, the one I find most interesting, and I do want to get a higher version of it. I got honed level 3, I believe, which gives me a higher chance of having success when it's used. So for anyone who, you know, chops magic logs or that kind of thing, having a higher success chance is optimal. And that's why I chose that, is because I do intend on using this hatchet on magic logs, which even at level 99 woodcutting are still a pain to get. So honed is what I'm using, as well as enlightened, which increases my invention item XP that I get from it. So those are two very good ones that I would happily recommend for anyone looking for a good hatchet set.
Does honed stack with the scrimshaw and the aura?
That would be a good question, and I don't have an answer for this, but I don't see why it wouldn't. Though there was something in the patch notes this week that might lead me to believe that it doesn't. There was a scrimshaw that was changed in relation to something else, so we'll have to wait and see on that and come back to that.
I don't think that scrimshaw actually changed the chance of you getting something.
Okay. But let's just have a look at some of these perks that came out this week for the tools. You guys had a chance to look at these?
Yeah.
What do you think? What jumps out at you guys?
Anything for you, Alex?
You go first.
Okay. I mean, there are some new unique ones that are specifically for tools. One of them is Butterfingers. yeah, it has a 3% chance per rank of dropping the resource you just gathered. So it's one of those that you don't want. In addition,
Maybe you do want them. Like, I guess if you're power mining coal or gold and you don't want to keep it and you want to go for longer without tapping the action bar to drop all that gold ore.
That makes sense. Okay, so, then maybe you
max
can
rank of 5, so 15% chance to drop the ore when you do it. You just spend more time mining, less time dropping.
Yeah.
So there is a reason for that.
Still, it's only a 3% chance.
Per rank, up to 15% total.
15. That can increase speed fairly well. I mean, not
it
as much
as
what happened before the action bar, but still. Cheapskate is another one that maybe you can find a pro for this one. It's a perk that basically makes it so 1% per rank, and I think it's a maximum of 3 ranks, has a chance of transmuting the gathered resource to a lower tier. I can't think of a scenario where that is beneficial.
Living rock caverns, mining coal. If you're wanting to make steel bars into cannonballs at the end, you get some iron along the way.
I guess. You could just mine iron, though, and iron would be
But
faster.
You do both at the same time. And the way this is going to work, let's see, cheapskate is 1% chance per rank. So, 3%. So you wouldn't get enough, but it would definitely give you an iron stack. So...
Okay, I'd have to look up.
You asked me to find a use.
No, that makes sense. You're doing what is necessary. That's very good. I appreciate it. There are another few. One of the best ones, in my opinion, is Honed.
Yes,
which is max rank or max tier of 5, and for each tier, it gives 2%. Higher chance of successfully gathering items. So basically, at the max tier of this perk, you get a 10% increase.
I want a tier 5 honed perk.
Yeah, that's very nice. I need to look
requires
up.
Requires silent components, sharp components, precise magic or blade. And of course, the way it works is you can combine, you know, the silent and with some precise components, and you combine, say, 2 silent and 3 precise components, you will have a higher chance of getting a higher rank. But of course, the caveat is, I think that silence aren't unlocked until around level 80 or something like that. So it's going to be very hard to get some of these higher level perks until you get around north of 80 invention as it is. Silent components are level 87. And you get them from disassembling Death Lotus equipment.
Oh my.
Yeah. So obviously the things that you would want to disassemble for the best bang for buck would be the Death Lotus darts.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, sharp components, the highest I ever saw was a 3, and that was rare. Or no, huh. Maybe it was a 2. That's all I got. And wow. I was using, wow. I used tons of precise components. I tried it like 25 times. Combining precise and magic components, and it just did not work.
Hmm.
It would only give me 2 rank 2. So you do definitely want the higher tiered pieces of equipment, or higher tiered materials on this.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely honed.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well.
The one that jumped out at me was refined, preventing a resource from being depleted. I wasn't sure if this was something that an ivy woodcutter should use, because you don't gather from ivy. They just disappear. So I'm not sure if refined would work with ivy. That would be something to look further into. So I didn't do too much on that. But if you were chopping normal wood or if you're fishing, I can see refined being very useful. And once again, there's 3 ranks here, and this is 5% per rank. So 15%, that's pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
There's also polishing, which is the opposite of
cheapskate.
So I mean, we don't have them yet, but once we get crystal hatchets and pickaxes and augmentable pickaxes, I can see polishing being one that you would use, because you would want to use polishing and just mine Adior and jump up to rune.
That makes sense.
If you want rune ore. So there's that.
Or you could do, because mithril
goes to Addy. Mithril
are fairly, fairly abundant too. So.
And then you can use Addy to...
Even adamantite's pretty abundant in some places.
Yeah, and that's true. it's still a great way of training smithing with plate bodies if you get to level 88. So. That's very interesting, actually. See, I'm thinking of all these things with mining, but we don't have equipment on mining yet. So I would like to get an ETA of when that's coming.
Hmm.
I'm going to guess maybe in April they might do something like once a month releasing different tools.
Yeah, or, I mean, unless there's some problem to introduce it with a quest or something, because they did say they were going to be introducing invention stuff all throughout the year, quests and non-quests. So I'm sure it'll come at some point, but these perks would be really good for mining. What any of these other ones jump out at you guys?
I personally like the charitable one, which is a perk that gives an item to other nearby players. There's a 1% chance per rank.
Really?
And it gives an item to, and it gives an extra item to other nearby players. So cheapskate, it kind of
it says putting an item by other nearby players, so on the ground.
Oh, okay. I thought it was just gives it to him directly. I thought there'd be an awesome troll thing where you have a whole bunch of people using charitable all in one spot, and then everybody's filling him really, really fast.
Hmm.
I thought that would be kind of funny. But I mean, if it puts him by, then that I guess that too can be interesting. If you have 1 million people using charitable, then they're all mining ores and stuff, you're going to have a big mess of resources.
Yeah. Furnace, 5% chance per rank of consuming and gathered resources for 100 XP, so kind of like the Inferno adds did, but on steroids, so that's good. Confused, 1% chance per rank of teleporting you randomly after successfully gathering a resource.
Random event?
Where?
I don't know. I have no idea, and I don't want to try. But, yeah, very interesting indeed.
I do want to try. I want to see where it takes you.
You do that and get back to us. I don't see any other new perks on this list, but I'm happy that they added us some new skilling perks. That's excellent. So anything else on these before we move on to other invention changes?
Nope.
Alrighty then.
Oh, it only teleports you 5 squares away.
Oh.
What's the point in that?
No kidding.
Funny.
It's like an abyssal demon teleport.
Ah, yeah, there you go.
Maybe they'll teleport you in the water.
So across the board, charge drain rate has been decreased by 10% for everything. That's good. I think people were definitely finding their higher level gear was being utilized too much and requiring too much energy to use.
And it does stack up after you start adding more and more gear, like the body and the legs.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, yeah, we do want to, you know, who'd have ever thought we'd have a market for incandescent energy, but even I must say that the prices of 370 GP each 2.5 months after invention came out are still kind of lopsided. So I'm glad that this change was made.
They did warn us that we were going to be using a lot of energy.
Also, Invention XP gained by disassembling and siphoning leveled equipment is now scaled to item tier. 15% more for level 90 and 15% less for level 70. So,
that's fair.
So I'm guessing 80 is the midpoint, and then 75, each of them goes by 5% in between, I guess?
I don't know. You think they would have mentioned it. I think it may just be the 90 and the 70.
But, I mean, that doesn't make sense because there would have to be something in between for level 75 equipment and level 85 equipment because those are all there as well. And, of course, I don't have any augmented 85 or 80 gear, so I can't say for certain what this is. Colton, have you seen anything on this?
Not really.
Can you augment level 85 gear?
Well, yeah. I mean, the port's weapons and the port's armor, right?
Oh, yeah.
So there's that. You can, of course, augment Chaotix at 80. So that's why I'm assuming 80 is the base because it's right in the middle of these two.
Okay.
Yeah.
So unless you did 7.5%, but then there's odd equipment as well. I think there's a level 76 weapon or something out there.
There is?
I think so.
Huh.
It's one of those quest reward items. I don't remember what it is. Mm. But
I doubt those are augmentable.
Yeah, that's true, actually. Very good point. All right, so then let's just assume then level 70 will be 15% less and 7.5% less for 75. 80 is what we had. And then 85, 7.5% more, and just take it from there.
Well, actually, I think it's flat above 80, now that I think about it.
But it says you get 15% more for tier 90.
Really?
Yeah, okay. That's what the news posting says.
Yes, it does. I just haven't been using tier 90, so.
Okay. Like it doesn't say up to 15% for level 90, which means that I don't know if it staircases up.
I bet it does. I mean, that's a logical progression.
It would be, yeah.
All right, so if anyone out there has done level 85 or 75 gear, let us know and how this works. That would be much appreciated after this update. And they also added a new device called the Augmentation Dissolver, which allows you to remove augmentations from equipment, which is good.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if you have second thoughts and you're done with, you know, your port's weapons, you don't want to completely destroy it. Well, let's just remove the augmentations and away we go. So that's good. Alrighty, well, that's the invention skilling update, and at the end of the day, I am very, very happy with this update, and if this were included with the first batch of invention, I think that this would have drastically shifted the players' opinions of the skill when it came out.
Yeah, I mean, it would have made me more apt to stay away from combat.
Yep. Same here. But same here.
I think it was necessary, and thus I'm happy with what has happened. So I'm glad it's here. Better late than never.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, indeed. Indeed. Alrighty. Here we go. RS Wiki to the rescue. Okay, what did you used to get? You used to get 540k XP for disassembling a level 10 item, right?
Correct.
All right, so now if you step down to tier 70, that goes down to 459k at the top from 540. Tier 60, 378. Huh. And tier 90 up to 621. So tier 80 is there, and they don't have any results for tier 75 and 85 yet, but they do show that it goes down in a way that is on a staircase, as you said, Alex, for tier 60. So there's that as well, because tier 60 is only 378K. So it does do that. So there should be something in there for tier 75 and tier 85. So that's good. I don't know what they are yet, but they do have...
Yeah, we'll find out.
They do have the ones for 60, 70, 80, and 90.
That just means that players are going to have to go and check it out and then put it in the wiki.
Yep. Alrighty, moving on to the second part of this week's update, Heart of Gelenor Encampment, which was the God Wars 2 community event, which started this past Thursday. There's a bit of a treasure hunter component to this, and there's a non-treasure hunter component to it as well. So the way this works is each day you log in after reset, you will get 100 basic tools. And you can click on these tools and they will teleport you to the heart. And each day there are two or three skills there that you can train. You get roughly 100 XP per tick. And after you use up your tools, which I find takes around 20 to 25 minutes or so, you gain about 20% progress for the personal progress for the day. So you do this for 5 days and up there you go all the way to 100%. And you can receive all the community unlocks. And of course, at the end of the day, once the community participates in this to its full extent, they will receive the energized arm cannon.
Ooh. Yeah. So Mega Man wannabes, you get your arm cannon.
I don't know what this is going to be. Either you guys looked into this, because I mean obviously we can't get it yet.
Looks like something you get from Virago.
No, it's gonna be from God Wars 2 dungeon. It's going to apparently fire bolts and be essentially like a level 75 crossbow. One-handed crossbow, of course.
I was mentioning you take a look at the graphic on the RuneScape page in the news section. It looks like it's something you get from Virago.
Yeah, because Virago does have those things on his fist, so maybe it is something kind of inspired by that. But you can also get golden tools on Treasure Hunter. They give 25 times the contribution and also 25 times the XP. So lots of people investing in Treasure Hunter keys, I do want to say. They are doing this. I've seen numerous people talk about this. And, I mean, Treasure Hunter might not be your cup of tea, but if you do get these golden tools off Treasure Hunter, they do offer you a lot of experience. So, best to save them until a skill comes up that you want XP in. Yesterday, there were three good ones. Slayer, Construction, and Summoning. Two very expensive skills. So, it's a great way to get some XP in these skills that are sometimes expensive to train. And it's really laid back. You just go there, click, and you do it. It's practically AFKable, which I think is what they wanted to do.
Everything's AFKable now.
Pretty much. So, Iron Man accounts can participate in this and will receive the wardrobe cosmetic overrides only. They're allowed to skill exactly the same as a normal player and will receive standard tools every day. They cannot get golden tools, they cannot buy additional tools with loyalty points, and they cannot get mystery boxes or the weapon at the end of this community run event. So there's that. Or also, to earn progress through the event, you can use the portal and get divination XP. So lots of interesting ways of getting experience with this. You guys think the loyalty point aspect is interesting, rather than, you know, just forcing everyone to go to Treasure Hunter here?
Oh yeah. I think it's awesome. I mean, it's definitely what I would use if I were interested in buying more tools. So,
yeah. Cause I mean, cool. You'll get there on your own without spending loyalty points to it, but let's just assume you wanted to get it quicker. You can spend loyalty points on it if you want XP in that skill. And I mean, I think this is a testament to how many loyalty points we got sitting, because I know I have over 500,000 of them. So,
yeah, there's nothing else really to spend them on except for more auras and stuff.
Exactly, exactly. So that's why this was made here. And, I mean, obviously this is in some ways getting ready, getting the encampment ready for when God Wars 2 dungeon opens. But beyond that, I don't think it really serves much lore purpose, does it?
No.
No, it's just a way to sell some Treasure Hunter keys and take part in a community event.
Yeah. I mean, with the Sword of Rattalin, which is the analog of what this event is, they had, like, that little lore treasure hunt thing, and you got the banner, and it was kind of cool because you got a little bit of background on Falador, but that's not really necessary with this update, I guess. So,
yeah, indeed.
Nothing like that here.
So, but level 75 crossbow at the end of it for normal players, I think that's pretty good, because if I'm thinking about it, we have the Armadale crossbow at 70 and nothing at 75 for single-handed ranged.
I think those have been updated to level 75, both of them.
Okay.
So, to my knowledge, at least.
All right. Well, let me just have a look, but... Yeah, so that's the community event this week. Next up, let's move on to the patch notes. I'll let you guys start. Colton, anything? What jumps out at you this week?
I mean, we see here that shields now identify correctly as shields rather than as armor when being disassembled, which I guess that's nice. Shields are kind of armor, but they are classified as shields, which is good.
Yeah, I guess they had a bit of an identity crisis then.
Yeah. Also, the Scrimshaw of log splitting no longer stacks with Crystallize, which is good, I guess, because Crystallize, as it is rather powerful. And so having a Scrimshaw that would stack with that seems a little bit OP. And it's surprising that they took this long to sort of figure this one out, but... there you go. At least they kind of picked it out now.
Yeah, so the question is then that I was asking earlier is, will the Scrimshaw log splitting attack or stack with the honed ability?
That'd be interesting. I wouldn't be surprised if it does. I would think that it... I wouldn't say that'd be too overpowered, because Crystallize is, what, 1.5 times XP or something even more than that? I can't remember. I haven't used it in a while, but...
Yeah, it's really overpowered, and... Whereas with honed, you're just attempting to get the resources faster. So
yeah, that's not too bad.
Yeah, it's not too bad. All right. Players can no longer jump onto Serenity Post while outside of the Heffen Clan area. Always, right? Always. Always like that. Ancient, dusty, and weathered Tardian journals have been added to the Master Quest Cape requirement list.
Nice.
Hooray.
Yeah, it's quite some time, and those are a major lore part of Within the Light, so it's like, what took so long?
I think I may have mentioned this in the last podcast. I think it was just a bit of an oversight. This quest was in development as the cape was being created, so I'm not shocked that it was sort of looked over as a requirement. The only requirements from that quest that they added was the Ancient Elven Wedding Ring, which was a large requirement in and of itself. I think that these three lore books were just a bit of an afterthought, given that they don't have extreme RNG requirements behind it or any significant grinding. So it wasn't something that came to mind first when one thinks of requirements that came from that quest.
All right, that's fair. Increase the maximum amount of bolus made at one time from 10 to 60. Okay, who makes these?
I have a whole bunch of resources in my bank right now, and I've never really gotten around to making them because making them 10 at a time was annoying, so this is a good thing.
Why would you make bolus, though?
Aha, aha, here it is, Colton. This is the level 76 weapon I was talking about.
What?
You can't augment them.
No, you can't augment them, but I knew there was a level 76 weapon somewhere, and here it is.
Wow. There it is.
Requires range level 76.
Now I have to make more.
Okay, now that's a convincing way of training range then. If you are, you know, just looking to train ranged up and, you know, you don't want to invest in a royal crossbow or, well, I mean, everyone's going to have a new crossbow after this event, but, I mean, this is a relatively cost-effective way of getting this, getting these.
It trains a lot of other skills too, like it trains your wood cutting and it trains your fire making and stuff.
Oh, wow. Also, the bolas have only 3.8% junk chance.
But you have to disassemble 50 at a time, don't you?
Yeah, okay, there you go, Alex. That's why they did that.
Yep.
These give stunning and direct components as well as simple parts and head parts.
That's fair. See, probably not worth disassembling, though.
I knew there was a level 76 weapon. There we go.
Just sort of serendipitously fell upon it. That's funny.
Magic. Yeah.
It's no longer possible to take wine as Amarak without getting attacked while using the area looting system.
Why hadn't this happened sooner?
Did
they do this last week? Just without the area looting system?
Yeah, they did. And it was also with Telegrab last week. And I'm not sure what would have initially broke that. But obviously this is the full fix for that.
Well, I'm glad it's now completely patched up and is no longer easily boddable.
So. Yeah. And there you go. Botting is a problem. And back in the olden days of Herblore training, this was a way many of us would get the requirements for the ranged potions, super ranged potions, without the need to go to the exchange or even before the exchange, look for someone who is selling wine as Amarak.
Mm-hmm.
Barrow's amulets have had their buy limit increased from 10 to 100. Okay. Increase the grand exchange buy limit on energies from 5,000 to 25,000.
Oh, now that's a good one.
Yeah, it really is. I know I'm happy about this from the capitalist part of you, who is always selling divine energy, so I like this. But more so, I mean, 5,000 at a time, that really doesn't do much for someone who is leveling tier 90s with invention and is using up energy so fast. So 25,000 is a much saner number for that.
That's good, especially you'll need it for all the invention.
Yes. And a number of low-level agility courses have been rebalanced in order to reduce failure rates and improve XP. So reduced failure rates at the Apatol agility course is making it more viable for lower levels. Previously, you would want to be around level 78 in order to use the Apatol agility course. I'm not sure what it would be now, but Apatol is a great way of training agility. So I would highly recommend probably everyone above 70 now to train there, maybe even into the 60s, depending how generous they were feeling with this. Agility pyramid failure rates have been reduced for all obstacles. Anyone here use the agility pyramid for training?
No. Not really.
Yeah.
Every so often I go there just to see how it looks now, but otherwise no.
Yeah, that was kind of after my time. And the bonus from completing the medium desert task has also been increased to compensate, so that's nice. Increased XP for completing a lap of the agility pyramid from 300 to 500. All right, so that's kind of what we're talking about here. I guess that's all right. Still, the agility pyramid is relatively low-leveled, but that's good indeed. Also reduce the failure rates of the penguin course, as well as increasing the XP on its obstacles to represent the amount of time required to complete it. Once again, this is an agility course that came in after I was level 80 plus agility, so I was never able to really test failure rates here, but it wasn't really a viable course going forward, because you basically wanted to do wilderness and then get over to Ape Atoll as quick as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they also increased the obstacles XP on the Barbarian Outpost agility course to better represent the level requirements. I'm going to be assuming this is the Advanced Barbarian Outpost agility course. Because
it does say lower level, though, so low-level agility courses, so I think this is actually the regular one.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's good, I guess, because normally I felt with agility when I was leveling it up is that there were only a few courses that you wanted to get to, and from time to time, it didn't make sense to use the intermediate courses because they didn't have anything that uniquely stood out about them.
Yeah.
Completing a round of Werewolf Skull Bowl in under 3 minutes now awards 900 XP up from 750, and if you take over 3 minutes, it now always awards 750 XP instead of a sliding scale of reduced experience.
Yay, Skull Bowl is viable again.
For lower levels.
Yeah, I guess.
And bored people.
Yeah,
what level
bored
is it
people.
Accessible?
I want to say 30 or 45 or something.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Somewhere around there. Let me just double check. I haven't gone there, of course, since it first came out. Let's see. Oh, agility level 25.
Huh. Wow. Okay, so that maybe it wouldn't be too bad.
Yeah, this would actually probably be a very interesting course with an interesting mechanic different from agility and splitting it up, so I can see why people might find this one interesting to use.
Yeah, I mean, it's only roughly 18k XP per hour at the upper end, but that's still reasonable.
Yeah, it is. Alrighty. Well, now we're going to move on to the... I guess I should ask, anything else from the patch notes?
Yeah, of course. You missed one of the biggest and most important ones, that the lowercase I in the title of the History of Ivan book name was fixed. I hate lowercase i's, especially when they're proper nouns.
Well,
yeah, I'm being sarcastic.
Was history capitalized though?
Yes, it was. It was
okay. Good.
Ivan, which is a proper noun.
Okay. Well, I mean, I guess you would find that interesting, Colton, being the master quest cape holder. But if you're just being sarcastic, I'm fine with
moving on. Being entirely sarcastic.
Alrighty. Oh. Well, now we're on to the piece of news that everybody has been talking about this week and kind of shook the
China,
RS community.
China.
Yeah, so... I'm sorry?
Zhonghua.
Right, you speak Chinese.
A little bit.
I don't know why you're... investing in that language, but we can talk about
because
your poor choice
later. Because
1/6
of the world's people speak it.
Yeah, and that's the issue. But we'll talk about why that's the issue later.
Okay.
But anyways, moving on. This week it was posted and required Jagex to actually proactively make a statement about this, that Jagex, the company, is potentially going to be required by a Chinese ore mining company. An ore mining company that itself is struggling. Hongda Ore Mining Company from deep within China is in acquisition talks to acquire the Jagex Ltd. company from the investors. Now, there was... Yeah.
I thought it was the other way around, that Jagex was acquiring them.
No. Absolutely not the other way around. Jagex is not buying an ore mining company. An ore mining company is looking into the possibility of acquiring Jagex. Now, this deal is indeed in the early stages. There was some talk about whether or not it had already been completed, but it has not been already completed because, well, let's just say that the initial news posting was from a Taiwanese website. And as it is today, Google translations are kind of hit or miss when it's dealing with languages and getting things exactly right. It can kind of tell you where things are going, but it can't provide an exact output of what the actual text mentioned. So that's caused some confusion of this story initially, and that is what caused Jagex to make an official statement on this, which reads, "Hi folks, as some of you may have seen through the online news articles, Jagex is getting noticed. The company is getting attention from the East, and the biggest market in the world, China, is knocking on our door. Jagex's shareholders have received offers of interest and have responded positively to an approach from a Chinese company. Jagex is in early stage discussions with the firm in question, but we must stress that they may or may not materialize into anything. However, should they come to fruition, it would potentially allow us to access the Asian marketplace to a high level. What does this mean for the plans we have on our games and our fantastic community? Put simply, our plans, including the launch of NXT, Zaya, Chronicle RuneScape Legends, God Wars Dungeon 2, and RuneScape Idol Adventures, remain on track. It is business as usual across Gilanor. Thanks. And they have also posted an FAQ topic done by Mod Pips, in which he goes through a good number of the community questions regarding this. Now, I just happen to know someone who speaks Taiwanese, and this is where the actual news article was posted. So I got him to take a look at this. And essentially what this article says is that discussions are underway for this company, Hongda Mining, to purchase Jagex for $300 million. Now, this also says in here that the fiscal year profit for 2015 was 2367 yuan pounds, which roughly translates to 256,000 Great British pounds, with roughly about the same, a little bit less, operating revenue for the year of 2015. Now, with that being said, well, actually much more than that, because the math doesn't make sense, but I didn't do the translation on yuan versus yuan pounds, but going forward from this, this article ultimately states that, well, yes, Hongda Mines is losing money. They are looking into purchasing Jagex. And there's a big caveat towards this deal. If a down payment of $100 million is not paid by April 30th, the deal is off. So that's why in the FAQ it mentions that the end of April is going to be important for this deal. Now, even if this amount is paid, that doesn't necessarily mean the deal will go forward. We'll, of course, have to wait for confirmation from Jagex and Hongda on this, as well as it is going to be subject to government regulation approval in the UK. So that is where we stand with this today. It's still a deal that's still very much in discussion. No decisions have been made going forward, regardless of what you might hear on the internet. And as Jagex puts it, even if this company does end up acquiring the Jagex mother corporation, there will be no outright changes to the way that RuneScape is executed going forward, providing, of course, top management stays intact, which why at this point any speculation as to the sky is falling, or this is going to be a horrible thing for RuneScape, or this means we're going to be seeing much more microtransactions, or maybe even the selling of gold, any of those kind of things that you've seen on the internet regarding this in places I'm not going to mention, all that is speculation and FUD generated by the community and should be disregarded until you hear something official from Jagex. Mm-hmm. Now that I've got that out of the way, thoughts on this?
Well, if it does go through, I can see the player population increasing tenfold.
Yeah, because China is an emerging market. Mm-hmm. I mean, as it is right now, that's one of the things that has been a major problem for Jagex, is getting into the Asian marketplace. Now, I don't know if that's because of the way RuneScape is structured, and that RuneScape as a whole is kind of a different game demographic than is popular in Asia, because while we have certain game demographics popular here, that's also very different in Asia. So I'm not sure what this...
It's also because China has a very heavy internet restriction. There's a lot of sites that you're unable to go to down there.
Exactly, exactly. So, I mean, at the end of the day, we don't know what's going to happen with this, and that's why speculation is just not good from the player side. Because I don't know if you guys saw this, but there's tons and tons of, you know, negative reactions to this already before the deal even happened. So the word is to just, you know, wait until you hear something official.
Yeah. Just don't panic until you hear them announcing that they're changing leadership.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it's ultimately going to come down to.
Yeah.
CEO, because the CEO is instilled by the board, and the board is controlled by the investors and the owners. So there's that. Colton, what do you think?
The writing's been on the wall the whole time, everyone. The mining, smithing, rework, everything. The end is near. Everyone, put on your tinfoil hats, duck and cover.
You sound exactly like a certain website out there.
Which will not be named. Might rhyme with credit.
I like what you did there.
Crafty, crafty man.
But, I mean, I see this is happening for two reasons. One, there was an investment by the initial investors that came in 2011 or 2012, I think, IVP, and they want to move it off to someone else because that's the way investors work.
Yeah.
Number two is that the current investors weren't able to break into the Asian market, so they want to sell it to a Chinese company who might be able to make that happen easier.
Yeah. As long as company doesn't tank and bring us with it or anything like that, or come to significantly change the way Jagex deals with updates and things of that nature and financial allocation, I think we're fine. Everything's gonna be normal.
Exactly. And I mean, the only thing that kind of puts a shred of doubt in my mind after seeing this news posting is the yearly profit for 2015.
Yeah.
256,000 British pounds.
Isn't that because of the massive losses they had to take from, I think Transformers was 2015,
yeah, and
right?
Yeah, 2015, 2014, 2015 would be still, you know, bearing the brunt of that issue with Transformers. So that is there as well. And aside from that, there's no evidence to say that Jagex is having problems. We have not seen any scale back in terms of the RuneScape IP. In fact, if anything, we've seen more in the last 6 months. Chronicle, the expansion into the new Idle Adventures game, you know, development teams on old school, the amount of stuff that's gone into RS3, the new client and everything like that. If it was a company that was having major problems, that wouldn't be the case. So I think you're entirely right that the finances are still recovering from that Transformers loss, because Transformers is so huge and Mattel is so huge that to lose something like that would have been very painful, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I should stress at this point that anything when it comes down to numbers is pure speculation, because A, we don't have access to the full reports for fiscal year 15 yet, and B, we don't know how exactly the Mattel deal was structured. So there's that.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, at the end of the day, nothing is going to change, like you said, unless leadership changes. So,
yeah.
Or they add the Mandarin language to the main website as another selection.
Yeah, and I mean, if they can break the Chinese market, then they will do that. So, but...
But that's probably the worst that's going to happen, is that you'll see an influx of players who can speak Mandarin.
Yeah, and when you think about it, that's such an emerging economy that it makes sense that they want to be there. So,
all right.
Yeah. I hope we have dispelled enough of the myth and FUD that was spread around the community by this, because I know one podcast certainly can't do that, but...
yeah.
I mean, there's a full FAQ here. There's no reason to believe that this is going to have a net negative result. And I mean, one of the big questions in this news posting is, will this affect or add to the levels of microtransactions in the game? And they say, no, it won't. So you got to believe them with what they say. And, you know, this goes for everything that Jagex does as a whole. I know there's a lot of people out there who... believe that Jagex do things, you know, just to harm the players, or, you know, intentionally hold out updates just for the hell of it. But if something is changed in game, it's done for a reason, because it affects them as much as it affects you to delay a certain update in game. whether it be something community related or combat related or just, you know, inventions. Like I heard someone today say that they were holding out on us for so long. Well, no, they weren't with regards to the invention tools because they take time to get right. It's not something that you can just throw together in a week and there you go. So I don't know. Sometimes this community needs to really realize what they are and just play the game. So, and not think that everyone's out to get them, but I could say more and say that people thinking they're out to get them is a very common occurrence with today's demographics that plays these kind of games. But we won't go any further than that.
Yeah.
I will say that we have the behind-the-scenes video for God Wars Dungeon 2, which I'm guessing is going to be here next week?
No, they said 2 weeks. At the end of the video, they said, which will be here in 2 weeks' time.
Oh, okay. I missed that then. Thank you for clarifying that. Like at the tail end of the video?
Yeah, like at the very end when they're summarizing exactly what God Wars Dungeon 2 is. So that implies Monday, March 28th for all of you who are big into bossing and are looking to take a day off from work or whatever.
All right. Because, you know, I missed that for some reason when I was watching this. So thank you for catching that, Colton.
Yeah, it kind of stuck out to me. I was like, oh, wait a minute. Because I thought for sure it would be coming out next week because I thought that the Easter event would be the week of Easter. But I guess it's typical for them to do most of those holiday events as a two-week event starting the week before the actual holiday occurs. So
yeah, so Easter will be this coming Monday then, and then God Wars the following week, which happens on
Easter Monday, so you don't have to worry about taking the day off anyways.
Well, it'll probably be Tuesday because I doubt JX will be in on Easter Monday, right?
Or maybe they'll release it later on Thursday.
People actually get Monday off for Easter?
Some places do here, yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see what they do and if it's out Monday or not. But
yeah, definitely.
So we got a preview of course, the generals here and a bit of an overview of how this is going to work. And suffice to say, it will look a lot like the old God Wars dungeon in terms of kill count and then bosses and generals and minions and whatnot. Of course, it'll be set in a different area. It looks like nothing we've ever seen before, and ultimately they did say that there is room for expansion in this going forward if players decide or they feel the need to add another boss, much like they did with Nex in the first God Wars dungeon. So we got that going for us. And an interesting thing about these that is, you know, kind of goes without saying in today's RS combat scene is that you can use practice mode on these bosses.
Good.
Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, no dying and, you know, you don't want to necessarily lose items if you're learning how to take them down. So there's that's good. They also added hard mode from the very beginning. So for players who want the challenge and the ultimate in terms of the top end bossing experience, you can do that. And of course, this will be a solo experience, whereas the first one was a group experience. So
that's a big difference.
Yeah, so we're definitely gonna have to check this out and see what we got coming for this. I guess I'll have to dust off the combat gear and see how that goes, but I don't know, I'm not much of a combat person, so we'll see how far I get. But of course we will have full coverage regarding this. So any thoughts a week out from this, either of you?
Still no word on lore books, so we'll see how much I'm involved in this.
Well, I'm sure they'll have to add some component to it, right? I mean,
new armor looks awesome.
Well, I mean, they did do the tail, right, Colton? And
yeah,
I mean, that was that took what, 25 minutes to do if you had your, well, aside from the grot worms, I think.
Yeah. That was fine. And I'm honestly not, I'm actually perfectly okay with them adding lore books to each of these bosses. I just hope they're not ridiculously hard. That's my fear, is that they said at one point that they'd be between the difficulty of Nex and Araxor, both of which I can do, but I don't really want to replicate those experiences again because I'm not as into combat as I was at that point in my RS career. So, I don't know. We'll see.
I saw pets in the videos, so I know people will be pet hunting.
Mm-hmm. And there are six of them, they've said, where there are only four bosses. I hope that it's not just the fact that, because the Twin Furies are two bosses, so that count are two characters, so maybe there's one drop for each of those, and the Zaros Vindicta and the Dragon Gorvek are one boss. So I'm hoping it's not like that. I'm hoping it's different. But I wouldn't be shocked if that's what they mean by two extra, like, pets, if they sell them separately, as it were.
Yeah, they might.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Also, we were wondering about pronunciation, and I heard them say Grigorovich, so we were right.
Woo! Grigorovich? All right.
Yes. All righty, and one final piece of RuneScape news. If you were in the Chronicle closed beta, starting yesterday, or 2 days ago, rather, on March 16th, you can now access Chronicle's early open beta access, which starts next week on the 23rd. And of course, accounts were wiped after the closed beta, so any progress you make now, you will be able to keep going forward into the open beta. So I'm going to have a look at that this weekend or early next week. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why I stopped with Chronicle after the initial phase of testing, was because I didn't want my progress to be wiped. So I can go forward now knowing that this is actually going to carry on once we get to launch. So I'm happy about that.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We'll have to have some more games again, won't we, Colton?
Yeah, I'll have to brush off my skills as well. I've not played, I think, since about that time.
Yeah. Remember when you killed yourself?
Yeah, very distinctly I do, yes. I'm not a card player. I will say that very firmly. I don't often know what I'm doing in those sorts of strategy games, and I don't profess to.
Yeah, and I mean, one thing Chronicle definitely has going for it is that when this came out, I had a look at Hearthstone from Blizzard, and Chronicle is just so much simpler than Hearthstone is, and I have to say, for being a first-time card game player, Chronicle maintained the simplicity of RS, brought it to a new genre, and basically made an easy way into the card game marketplace. But of course, there were some issues with gameplay status and cards and whatnot going forward, so we'll have to see if those have been fixed in the beta.
Yeah.
Alrighty, well, that's it for RS news this week. The sky is not falling yet. We're not all speaking Chinese yet. And
I am.
We're not, well, of course you are. You chose to. And
I'm preparing for the future.
Yeah, there you go. I told you that would serve you well in the new future going forward. But
didn't you? You totally saw this coming.
Yeah, I did. Well, not the RS side of it, but the other side of it.
I saw the coming.
But I forgot what the third thing was. But anyways, we're going to move on to questions right now. We got one of them this week, and that's from Adiron Cronon. So I'll let Colton read that out.
All right. The question reads, what are your thoughts on the NXT beta thing? And with Invention skilling out, do you think that will really change the way people train Invention? Or do you think most will just stick to doing it with combat? How do you see it changing the skill?
Well, let's do the NXT beta first, since that's happening this weekend once again.
Yeah.
I downloaded the client. It works on OS X just like it did before. First thing upon loading it that I noticed is that the shadows aren't as overzealous as they were in places like Pryphtinus and Catherby before. So that's there. Also, the ambient occlusion option now works, but it's a significant hit on frame rate, I find. Probably down 20% or so, but that's a very high-end feature that didn't exist beforehand, and you really don't need that if it's a frame rate issue. So overall, my experiences so far have been just as good as they were the first time around, and it really changes the way that you feel when you're playing RuneScape, I find. I don't know if Adiron Cronon, aka Touchpad Pro, has had a chance to play with the beta yet, but the beta is definitely the next thing forward for RuneScape, pardon the pun there, because I mean, it just makes it feel so much more immersive, from, you know, the enhanced colors, the better lighting, the further draw distances, and I mean, even the mini map is modern. So it is the next step forward for RuneScape, and ultimately, I think is something that we should all adopt and enjoy. And if you have access to the closed beta, definitely download it and give it a shot, because I mean, it might not work fully on your computer yet, but any kind of bugs you find or things you can discover will help iron out issues and make things smoother going forward.
Alrighty.
Colton?
I like the beta. It's awesome. I mean, I think I talked about it ad nauseum when we brought it up back when it was released.
Yeah, I wish it was February 20th, I think. Yeah, and I mean, that's something that lots of people the following weekend, oh, there's no beta this weekend? Oh, yeah. that's so bad.
I was one of those fools under the impression that it was every weekend when they meant beta weekends. So it looks like we're only going to get like 3 weekends or maybe 2 under closed beta until it goes to open beta. And I don't know, maybe to me that, I still think it was worth buying the Gold Premier Club, but I don't know. I would have rather they have it every weekend, but whatever. I shouldn't be complaining because this client's great. Whenever it's available, I want to play on it.
Yeah, me too, me too.
It's just better.
Yeah, a bunch of us got together the last weekend, the 20th of February, when this was first coming out, and had a little bit of a discussion about it, and we put it on YouTube called it the RuneScape NXT Showcase, with some RuneScape 1080p 60fps videos fly through. So look there, and we also got a whole lot of opinions on them, and I don't think they'll have changed too much, because the first round of beta testing was really accessible to us and easy to use and didn't cause too many problems. So I think the opinions that you hear in this will still stand, and you can find that in the show notes at update.rsbnb.com. The link will be there. So there's that. But yeah, definitely try NXT if you can. And anybody who says NXT is not a good thing to go forward is just either really ill-advised about the game client, hasn't tried it, or they're drinking some Kool-Aid from somewhere that's been poisoned. So,
or they severely need a computer upgrade.
Yeah, that's right. Get a computer from this decade, people. Mm-hmm. Alex, what do you think about NXT? We didn't get a chance to talk to you on the 20th there.
That's all good. I think it's a pretty sweet experience. I mean, it kind of makes the world seem smaller, but then much larger, almost like looking through a fisheye lens at stuff.
Really? I didn't find that. Okay.
No? It's like, I mean, you run around and you can see everything all close together and stuff, and you suddenly realize just how small everything is.
Yeah,
and now you can see everything
all
around.
They did deal with some of that stuff along the way in terms of making it so that, you know, it would seem like islands that were a stone's throw away were actually further, so they did accomplished some of that. They also this week fixed a whole lot of bugs that you can see in the forum thread if you are in the beta, a lot of them.
Did they fix the one where the players float in the air?
I think there was something about floating, but I'm not sure about your specific case, so you'll want to check that out. Alex, did you have any hardware issues?
A little bit. My graphics card didn't like it very much. I kept on overheating every so often, but otherwise, I mean, I try to play it as maximum as possible, see just how well it would take. And on my Alienware laptop, it still held out pretty nicely. Just took a long time to load everything, though. I mean, I was running down Priftinus with only a floor to go off of. I didn't see my character for a bit until they all loaded.
Okay, that sounds like an internet issue. All my experiences on my Mac from 2011, I have had no problems running it and can run it at 50 or 60 FPS, which my current Java client can't do. So even in that regard, that's already an upgrade.
Well, then Telus is not very good.
Before we wrap up on the NXT beta, what's your favorite area in the NXT client to look at graphically, Alex?
Oh, I love looking at Tranwin, I believe it was called.
Oh, okay, me too, Tranwin. Yep.
Tranwin is awesome. We just said the underwater tutorial island was pretty cool too.
Oh, I didn't get there. Have to do that this weekend. Colton, you have anything to add before we move on?
No, not really. Just if you have access and you're not utilizing it, what are you doing?
Oh yeah, you go into the Tsar volcano. That looks sweet.
Okay, yeah.
Tsar volcano.
Right,
awesome.
And that would, because lots of lightning bouncing off surfaces and whatnot, so that'll be good.
Yeah, that is so cool.
Alrighty, and now the second one on invention. Mm-hmm. I honestly think people will stick with combat just because combat is what everyone is focused on in RS, it seems.
I think it depends person to person. I think it's not something you can broad strokes say that the community will do, because they're different subsections of the community. I mean, personally, I'm not doing combat. I don't care if it's three times slower to do it with skilling. I'm going to do skilling just because I enjoy skilling a lot more, so personally, that's what I'll do. I think most people will stick to combat. I think you're right, Shane, just because it is faster, and a lot of people like that style of gameplay. But I think there will be a good section of the community, 10 to 20%, that will decide that skilling with invention, or invention using skilling, is more their speed. And so I think this was a great update, because it makes the skill more accessible to a larger portion of the player populace.
Yeah, completely agree with you there. And I mean, I will be in the same boat as you, is that I will do it with skilling, regardless of how slow it is compared to the other one, because combat is just not something I'm focused on at this stage. Mm-hmm. I mean, one day I might get 99 ranged and do it with an augmented set of crossbows or something like that, but it's not, you know, a reason I would train invention, so to speak.
Yeah.
And ultimately, when it comes down to it, if Jagex wants people to get more interested in invention for skilling, they got to do two things. The first thing they have to do is give us augmented pickaxes, preferably sometime within the next 2 to 3 months would be ideal. Same amount of time it took to get the hatchets and rods after the first update, which is understandable. So that's the first thing they have to do. And then it's all going to come down to the perks. Because let's remember, as it is, using an augmented hatchet or fishing rod on its own isn't exactly something that people are going to flock to for fishing or woodcutting. So it's going to have to come down to what can we offer players in terms of perks. And I think we already have discovered a great perk this week called Honed that is going to enable people to have a higher chance of getting resources when they're utilizing it. So there's mm-hmm. that. And I think the second best perk that we had this week was Refined as well. So it's got to come down to perks if they want people to look at training invention for their skills, even if it's going to be a little bit slower. Perks, and more perks is the way you're going to get people to train invention, I think, regardless of the amount of XP that it gives. So, and how do you think it'll change the skill? Colton, you're right. It's going to add a laid-back feel to the skill.
Yeah.
So, that is going to be really good.
Good stuff.
Yeah, and there's also the refined perk, which decreases the chance that a resource will be depleted when you're gathering from it. I would put that as my second one. Especially if you're working with things that are deployable.
Yeah, definitely.
So, all right. Alex, anything on invention here for Adiron Cronon?
Well, you guys are always talking about kind of choosing between combat and skilling as opposed to actually using both of them based on when the situation calls for it. I mean, depending on how you play RuneScape, sometimes you'll actually be focused in the game and want to get into some heavy-duty combat, say, fight bosses and stuff for that thrill. But sometimes, I mean, you want to do what I call dish skills, which are skills that you do while doing the dishes, while focusing on something else. And, I mean, being able to do those kind of skills while also still training your invention and stuff, it kind of just helps you train the skill, really. Gives you that extra option.
Yeah, and, I mean, there's so many people who are also concerned with efficiency as well, and if you can AFK and also AFK invention kind of while doing it, that certainly adds to the allure to it, I think.
Like, in the way I see it, I mean, if you're only ever going to do combat stuff in RuneScape, then this is not going to affect you at all. But, I mean, if you, again, if you sometimes do combat, you sometimes do scaling and stuff, this is only going to help you.
Definitely.
So, really, it's not going to change very much except help benefit the people who can only scale.
Yeah.
And they still want to train invention.
Yeah. And it's going to add that many more eyes to invention, and that's why I think we'll start to see a demand, maybe through Rune Lab's suggestion or even just the suggestions forums for certain perks.
And
I
for
don't
a new
have
skill,
any
that's
right
what we
now,
want.
But yeah, exactly, for a new skill right now. And an elite skill at that. Because let's not forget that the entry requirements to the skill are 80 divination, crafting, and smithing.
So you're already skillers when you join the enter the skill anyway, so yeah.
Alrighty, well, I think that covers that question. If you want to send us in questions or discussion topics for next week, yes, you can send discussion topics. If there's something that you saw on a RuneScape website or you saw in the community that you think might provide a worthy addition to RSBNB update, you can send those along too. You send all those to questions at rsbnb.com. Or you leave us a voicemail on the Google Voice, which is 571-57-BNB or 571-572-2632.
Please do. We'd love to hear from you guys.
Yes, we love audio questions, don't we? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's something that you hear a person's voice, then you make the connection. Oh, yeah, I see that person in the chat all the time. I see that person on the forum. So
it's a girl.
Well, it could very well be, yes. And that basically lets me, I don't know about you guys, put a voice to people when I read their messages in-game.
That's yeah, why I like to read them with a weird accent.
Or you could, do that too.
Because I can improvise, I can give them a voice, albeit a very silly one, and then go from there.
Yeah, I think you made someone sound Chinese once.
I did. It was funny. Yes.
All right. Well, we're going to move on to tech news right now, and there's big news this week in the artificial intelligence front coming out of Google.
Ooh.
All right, are you guys familiar with a game called Go?
Nope.
It's an ancient Chinese game.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do they stop at all, ever?
It looks like reversey.
I get that, Colton. I get that.
So it's Chinese checkers reversely, right?
Maybe. I'll just read a bit about what Go is. It's a strategy game for two players, and the core objective of the game is to surround more territory than the opponent, and you do this by taking turns placing stones, or in modern day game tokens, on a 19x19 grid. And if you can surround the enemy and surround all the enemy positions, you effectively win. Apparently, beginners start off playing on 9x9 boards and then upgrade to 13x13 before moving to 19x19. And this might interest you, Alex. Apparently, in ancient Chinese culture, they played on 17x17 boards.
Why would the number 17 make me interested?
Well, just the fact it's ancient Chinese culture and you are interested in Chinese culture.
Oh.
Yes.
Because you're saying sort of in the tome, they played on 9x9, they played on 13x13, the Masters played on 19x19. But this, Alex, this may interest you, they also played on 17x17.
Yeah, ancient Chinese.
Whoa, 17x17.
Anyways. Nice number, nice and prime.
There you go, Colton. Excellent.
But if we go into prime numbers, I'm more into the number 43.
Okay. Well, there was a Go tournament in Seoul, South Korea this past week, and it was Go Masters in the world facing off against one of Google's artificial intelligence experiments called DeepMind.
Ooh.
Or DeepMind's took on AlphaGo. Sorry, it's called AlphaGo, Google's artificial intelligence for this. And the final score was 4-1 for AlphaGo. And they're contributing the $1 million in prize money that they won to organizations that support science, technology, and engineering and math education and Go, as well as UNICEF. So that, yeah, that's Google doing some charity work with that. And the way this worked is that these were Go grandmasters, effectively, and they only won one game against Google's artificial intelligence here.
The only reason they did that was because he used, it says, innovative moves of his own that only had like a 1 in 10,000 chance of ever being played. And so
exactly,
they used moves that they didn't anticipate were going to be used.
Yeah. So they learned two things of this. The first things first is that it shows AI problem-solving skills that, might not necessarily be thought of first if being thought about by a human. And it does this by looking globally across the boards and finding solutions that humans have not been trained to play or would not ultimately consider. So you're right, Alex. It doesn't look into things that human players would use. And this potential basically says that you can use this AlphaGo style of technology to find solutions that humans don't necessarily see in other areas. And that's why this AlphaGo challenge is interesting, because if you do this with AlphaGo, you can do that with practically anything else. Where there might be chaos and noise, AlphaGo style artificial intelligence would find something of a solution. And the second takeaway from this is, while that the match has been widely billed as man versus machine, AlphaGo is really a human achievement. Lee Sedol and the AlphaGo team both pushed each other towards new ideas, opportunities, and solutions. And in the long run, that's something we all stand to benefit from. So, now the upshot that you guys might not be realizing here is that while this is only for a game, that means that this kind of solution-finding technique implied by AlphaGo can ultimately be used for other things, whether it be creating a more efficient and smarter Google search engine, or maybe, you know, looking at a way of finding various genome projects and seeing where that goes in terms of helping solve disease. So at the end of the day, this is modern AI, modern artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. And wow. I just want to say with this that even though there's all kinds of theories and, you know, people are scared that computers and machines are going to take over one day as if they do in the Terminator, with this kind of AI, it really demonstrates where we are headed on the AI front. And machines taking over at this point, I feel, are probably the least of our worries if this is the stage that probably the largest computer science funder in the world, Google, is after. So don't worry is what I also want to say from this. So there's the three takeaways from this story.
Yeah,
I guess the only time you should be worried is when people of incredible power get control of these machines.
Yeah, and I mean, I'd like to think at the end of the day, Google is going to use this for good. And I mean, Google is inherently science-based. From when you type in that search term on Google, it's all computational science to try and bring you the best results as quick as you can. And that's the way they see the world. So I think that they are ultimately doing this for good. It's just a question of whether or not the backers behind Google are apolitical enough to not utilize that technology in other ways in this crucial time period that we live in. But I'll leave us off here. One thing on the story, but as they say about going Korean, don't be arrogant when you win, or you'll lose your luck. Anyways, anything on AlphaGo from either of you based on this before we move on?
Really, it wasn't too long ago when a computer solved chess.
Yeah, that was the 90s, so.
So one step at a time, I guess. What do you think the next game they're going to beat is? You think a computer's going to be able to figure out Mahjong?
I have no idea what that is.
It's another Chinese game.
Yeah, there you go. And I mean, Go, I guess, has so many more possibilities than chess, and it's not linear and not as well defined as chess. So, Colton, anything on this before we move on?
No, just neat to see how things keep progressing, and the possibilities are really endless.
Do you want to play Go?
I don't know if I'm willing to spend the time to learn how complicated it seems, because if we could figure out how to beat chess masters with AI back a while ago, I can't fathom how difficult and challenging and nuanced this game is compared to chess, to have taken that long to develop proper AI to defeat a human in.
Indeed, indeed. Anyways, moving on from that, I have some Xbox news to share with everyone. Microsoft has announced this week that the Xbox will be supporting cross-platform play between the Xbox One and Windows 10 that uses Xbox Live games. So networks will be able to enable this, and if they do that, their users will be able to play without barrier. And if, of course, the PlayStation users are... the PlayStation company decides to PlayStation game developers decide to do the same thing, theoretically PlayStation players will be able to play with Xbox players, PCs, and everyone will be able to have a harmonic gaming session all together.
And then the Wii U gets into play and all heck breaks loose.
The Wii U.
I'm kidding.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. It's probably not going to happen.
No. The first game to support this will be Rocket League. And yeah.
That's a simple game.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, the Rocket League PC version can already play with PlayStation versions, so it's a good entry to the Xbox to enable that to happen. And of course, that's going to be coming this summer. So if you have an Xbox, you can look forward to an increased gaming ecosystem with many PC players out there. Also, it has been announced that Monogame support, which is basically a programming framework, isn't supported on Xbox One, but it is supported on Windows, will be ultimately supported on the Xbox One going forward. Now, what does this mean for those of you guys out there who own an Xbox and might be contemplating more games in the future? This
more
means
indie games.
That indie game developers will be able to get their games onto the Xbox much easier than they are able to now.
More indie games.
Yeah, and Monogame is the same thing that is used in the Microsoft App Store. So there's no reason why this shouldn't have happened with this announcement, because also this summer, Microsoft is merging the Windows and Xbox App Store. So there's going to be one App Store for both platforms, and universal Windows platform apps, in addition to Mono Game apps, will work on Windows, they'll work on the Xbox One, and they'll work on Windows mobile devices. And now this is ultimately going to usher in the era of the truly unified Microsoft platform, which doesn't exist yet for anyone else. So this is a tremendous achievement for Microsoft, assuming it ships on time and works. Typically, Microsoft announces things, and sometimes they don't arrive on time. And as a result, that kind of dampens Microsoft's image of being able to ship applications and new features on the time that players want or users want them. So at the end of the day, this is a perfect time to jump into the Windows ecosystem with Windows 10 or even an Xbox One. Or if you have an Xbox One but haven't upgraded to Windows 10 yet, this is the perfect reason to upgrade to Windows 10. So, you guys both using Windows 10 here?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, so, I mean, huge benefit for Windows 10 users as well, because they get access to all these new games and whatnot and shared ecosystems. So it's really something special that Microsoft is doing. And if they manage to pull this off, they'll be the first ones to effectively have a unified application platform. So I'm really excited about this, if you can't tell. And I think it's ultimately a good thing for Microsoft, and it's their next step forward to maintaining relevancy.
Cool.
Yeah. Ooh. So, Colton, ever plan on getting an Xbox One or a game console?
They'd really have to do some work in order, and the prices would have to come down again for me to even consider it. I've got a console sitting right in front of me.
Which one?
It's called my computer.
Oh, okay. Well, that works. That works. And you're on Windows 10. So you're practically already involved in this ecosystem, so it's not as important for you as it might be for other people, but it's a great way to bring people in, as you can tell.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And Alex, you have both, right? The Xbox One and the Windows 10.
Yippers.
Excellent. All right, and if, of course, anyone has questions about Xbox or Windows 10 or this shared ecosystem, you can ask those for questions too to the previous address and phone number that we mentioned for questions, update.rsbimby.com/ask, or the Google Voice telephone number. We'd love to hear your tech questions as well.
Ooh.
All right, and our final piece of tech news kind of shows where the world is going with social networks and virtual reality.
Colton, very, very good places.
Colton, you got a kick out of this when I showed it to you.
Yeah, it's different. I mean, I just never would have thought of this kind of thing before, you know?
Yeah, a social network has been created where you can hang out with real people in virtual reality. So, I mean, instead of going to visit people in real life, you could potentially visit with them in virtual reality. The social network is called VTime, and it was developed by the Starship Group, which is a VR/augmented reality innovation company. They launched their service on Google Cardboard on March 11th, and the app also works on the Samsung Gear VR 2. So as we can tell, it seems as though in 2016 and probably 2017, virtual reality will be getting a lot of focus going forward. Basically, the network has you create a virtual avatar, and then you interact with 1 to 3 other users in 12 different virtual worlds. You can create chat rooms, invite your friends, or have the system randomly pair you with a user to talk to. And this feature is called Random Match.
Sounds like chat roulette to me.
It kind of does, doesn't it? But, I mean, at least there's no webcam involved in this, right?
Yeah, that's true. A little safer.
Yeah, a little bit safer indeed. You know, I think it's interesting that companies have gone on the social bandwagon for this, but I ultimately don't think we'll see one of these upending someone like Facebook or Twitter. I think what you will see in the future is you will see Facebook Messenger move to an option of having a VR kind of conversation setup, I want to say, once or if this goes mainstream. That's a big if there, it really is. You'll have to see if products like, you know, the Samsung VR, Google Cardboard, and Microsoft HoloLens do ultimately end up becoming mainstream and working their way out of specialized applications and costs coming down. So, I mean, this, I guess, if you were to put it in ways of previous advancements, this would just be the next version of Skype.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, it's kind of funny to me because I don't really see the additional benefits that this holds. I mean, I get that it's sort of a stepping off point, really. It's the first stepstone to being able to have a fully immersive, multi-user experience with VR. So I think that's cool that it's a start, but on its own, at its face value, it just seems kind of like, why wouldn't I just do a group FaceTime, like Skype call? I don't know.
Yeah, and I mean, that's ultimately where this goes going forward, and all these things are just great proofs of concept at this stage, I think.
Yeah.
So, but it is happening out there, and there is research progressing on this front. And, I mean, there's even a video here on this page that shows what one of the meeting spots looks like, and it's around a campfire, believe it or not.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, I guess.
Like, there's, I mean, it is still really early on, early stages here, because if you look at the models, they're not exactly that detailed, but VR is expensive to do in terms of hardware tech, so... I don't know. Interesting little thing to play with and think about. I mean, you could have an RSBNB update VR.
Yeah, who knows? We may be doing that for our shows here soon.
Sitting around a table in a Tower of Voices, maybe. That'd be interesting.
If they can give us RuneScape backgrounds, heck yeah. Or
yeah.
Environments.
Yeah. I mean, in theory, all you'd need to do is you just need to do a 360 degree photograph. And then stitch it together and warp it in such a way as a sphere. And you'd be able to do it. But yeah. And there's one sitting on top here of a mountain and on the space station. So you can kind of see where they're going with this. The video is in the show notes. So Starship VR. All righty. Anything else on that before we move on? V time. Mm-hmm.
It'd be good to help introverts get people skills by helping them interact with real life people in the as close to real life situation as possible without actually being real life.
That's true, but very true. But anyway, skill of the month update for March.
Yep.
Invention. Parnassius has pretty much flatlined, still in first place with 7.6 million XP gain. But on that front, as we see, the skilling update for invention, come on. Dave has started gaining XP once again on the 14th and is within about 1.8 million XP of catching Parnassius. Then in third place, we have Jamandy 52, and fourth place is you, Colton.
Yep, you were harassing me last show for not getting much XP, but here I am. This is the skilling update. I'm coming up, baby. At the current rate, I may pass Parnassius. Who knows? So watch yourself, Parnassius. Devo and I might pass you up, so you may have to take up the grind once again.
Yeah, well, there's a week left in the month, so it'll be interesting to see what you guys ultimately end up doing with this invention skilling update.
Exactly.
All righty. And we do have two achievements of the week. Grove Street got 99 runecrafting on March 12th. Congratulations.
Woo. And Mandy got 99 Hunter on March 11th, 2016. Congratulations to you two.
Excellent. Good job, everyone.
Yes, very much.
Well done.
All right. So speaking of going outside and speaking of interacting with the world, Colton has a pick of the week that'll allow you to do that. Well, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, this is important to me, I guess, because I'm immersed in this culture. And although I know there are some out there who are, what is this sports ball of which he is speaking? There are some people who are interested in sports out there. So. Maybe this is pertinent to those, but being an Indiana native, basketball is close to my heart. And thus March and the very beginning of April are crucial times in the year. I possibly should have done this last week to give everyone a heads up who might have been interested in this application. But regardless, here it is, even though the first round games are finishing up tonight, hopefully we'll be able to get this out by the time the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight games and all that are yet to take place.
Did you just speak English?
Yeah, it's basketball, guys. It's March Madness time, and basically, if you enjoy basketball, this is Christmas, or well, I guess it's more like Hanukkah because it's kind of spread out. So it's the Hanukkah of the basketball world, and it's amazing, and it's all over. But it's often not easy to watch every single game because especially the first weekend, there are like 16 games the first 2 days spread throughout 8 hours. And it's just so much stuff to watch and it's hard to keep track. But there is a way to keep track. If you haven't heard of it yet, it is the NCAA March Madness Live application. And basically what it does is it aggregates – collects every single game that you've got out there for the NCAA tournament and puts them all in one place. You can watch them for free via the application on any smart device of your choosing. You can listen to them over a radio stream if that's more your speed, I guess. You can track all the scores. You can set it to give you alerts for close games, upsets, final scores of specific games. You can monitor your brackets if that's your thing, if you are a competitive type. So basically, it's for iOS, Android. I'm pretty sure just about everything out there can get this application. It's just a great tool to use if you're a basketball fan to help keep in touch with all things March Madness and the NCAA tournament during these next few weekends here. So if you're interested, go out and grab it.
I see on the preview it has a way of putting together a bracket.
Yes, which is, if you aren't aware, Shane, it is sort of a traditional thing here for sports ball fans to fill out a bracket and often submit it into a pool or something of that nature.
Yeah, I am aware of that. And, you know, that is probably my favorite part about it.
Yeah, the possibility for financial gain.
Yeah. And, you know, all the statistical combinations that could potentially come out of something like this.
Yeah, speaking of which, first 2 days have transpired. Actually, the second day is not quite yet done. The initial round of 64 teams is about to close in, and already there are zero perfect brackets remaining. Given
what?
The utter chaos that has ensued this year with
wow.
upsets. Yeah, it's usually there's a perfect bracket that will hold through to the second, third round, but this year all were destroyed, especially when Michigan State lost today. So rest in peace to my Spartan fans out there. I know a few of them.
All righty. Oh, and there's even an Apple Watch application that can give you live updates if you have a watch.
Yep. It's pretty great.
Alrighty. And of course, that's available on iTunes and it is free.
Mm-hmm.
Yay.
So now that we are nearing the end of the show, what have you been up to, Alex, this past week on RS?
Just the usual stuff, catching up on Treasure Hunter, the community event, getting ready for the God Wars 2, stockpiling stuff, trading invention, that sort of thing.
All right. Anything interesting or notable that has happened with that? Any excellent drops or rewards?
No, not really.
Oh, that's fine.
Just
that's
the usual stuff.
That's the way it
I do have
goes
like six skills at level 98. They're on the verge of leveling up, and I'll get them all at the same time.
Oh, we'll be seeing your name then shortly on the Achievements of the Week segment. And
you'll see them all over.
Yeah, I anticipate an event with that, so that should be good fun. All right. Sounds good. How about you, Colton? What have you been up to on RS?
No, on RS, I've just been doing... I quit my Elite Clue Scroll grind, as I had said. I know. I'm kind of missing them, you know?
Why'd you stop?
Because the invention update came out that I wanted. That's what I was waiting for this entire time. That's why I started up the Elite Clue Scrolls. I'll take it back once I get to 90 invention, but that'll be a while, so... Yeah, I miss them, but they'll be there for me when I return. So I've just been doing invention. I hit 60 just a minute ago, and am on my way up. And also been doing the God Wars event thing. So That's been enjoyable.
Alrighty. Anything else that you'd like to share with us?
I mean, my sister got married last week. I was talking about that, so that was a big thing for my family. And just, this was spring break, and now the wedding planning for myself is becoming that much more real. So, busy time.
Well, I mean, you certainly... I hope you're not having second thoughts, because
you
didn't sound very excited there.
Oh, no. I'm extremely excited. It's just a lot to do. You know, we're doing a lot of stuff over these next few weeks, and I'd like to be working instead of planning a wedding, but because I like to work. But
right.
That's
right.
Just how life goes.
Well, as for me this week on RS, I neglected to gather harmonic dust when Pristinus came out back in 2014. I only had around 800 of it in my bank. So I spent the first 2 days, 3 days of the week gathering around 3,300 harmonic dust to make myself a crystal hatchet.
Cool.
For this skill. And since then, I've just been doing invention. As I mentioned, I tried 25 times to get the perk I wanted, and I settled for Hone 2 and Enlighten 2, I believe. So that's what I'm using currently on my augmented crystal hatchet. I do, of course, want to upgrade those two perks to something better when I have the higher invention level to guarantee a higher level of those two perks. But going forward, I'll be doing woodcutting and invention. You know, I'm not too concerned about the rate at which I get woodcutting XP. I'll probably do it with magics. Just because I want something out of it rather than, you know, just there for XP per hour. And I can use the magic logs to make more invention components and that kind of thing. And, I mean, maybe even sell the magic logs at the end of the day. So that's just the way I want to do it, because woodcutting through magic logs was the way that some people did magic back in the olden days and got extremely wealthy off it. So I'd like to see what I can do with that in today's modern version of RuneScape. So there's that. But aside from that, not too much. Getting ready for God Wars 2, I guess. So I think that's about it for this episode, unless there's anything else.
Nope, I think that does us in.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing your time with us, everyone, and we will see you next week for Alex 43, Colton, and myself. Have
Hey-o.
A good week, everyone.
Take care, y'all.
Farewell, everybody.